second chapter, verses 9 through 14, that's what he read. And if you take a minute and you just focus on one specific scripture, and I'll go there, and I encourage you guys to turn with me there as well. Luke, second chapter, verses 9. Well, he started at 8, actually. It says, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" I want to take a minute and just sit right on one specific part of this scripture, because this is what it's all about. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. Who is the Savior, Christ the Lord? See, Christmas, yeah, it is all those wonderful things that we talk about. And it is a great time to get with family. And it is. But what is family? Right? What's the purpose? What's the point? What does family do with us? For most people, it's a time of great joy. Because you get to spend time with those whom you love. Right? Those friends that bring you great joy. You spend time with them. You're literally passing around that great joy that is Christ. And what's funny about this time of the year is that there's so many people that don't even believe in Jesus Christ, but participate in his great joy. Because they receive great joy through the festive holiday spirit. And I think it's amazing, because here the angel of the Lord is bringing that good tidings, that good news of what is to come. The great joy that is Christ. See, he is our joy. Amen? Amen? Come on. He is our great joy, right? How does this happen? Well, what did Jesus do from this point until the cross? Did he just grumble, mumble, and complain about everybody he came in contact with? No. What did he do? He did signs and wonders and set captivity free, right? And every person he came in contact with, what was the outpouring of them after they made contact with Jesus? They were rejoicing in what had happened. They rejoiced in what he had done. See, his presence alone through all of the things he did was more of that great joy. And here's the funny thing about great joy. It's actually contagious. Try sitting next to somebody who's jubilant and happy and be grumpy and miserable. Who wins that fight? Who wins that fight? Who wins that fight? Seriously, think about it. How many times have you been really sourpuss in the face and you have had a rough day and somebody just who's overly happy and overjoyed and excited comes and sits next to you? How long can you keep that up? You can't. See, that's the power of light over darkness. That's the power of the joy of the Lord over the defeat of the enemy. See, that's what keeps happening. And that was the whole point of him coming and what he accomplished on the cross. The other thing he did is that he was a demonstration to his disciples, right? Everything he did. Do you think that the time that he was spending with the disciples, there were points, granted, that he got frustrated, but do you think that their overall opinion of Jesus when he left was, man, that guy was a dictator. All he did is tell us what to do all the time. Or do you think they were overjoyed at the relationship that they had with God in the flesh? Because they had a very personalized, intimate relationship with Jesus that nobody else had. There was deep joy that they shared one with another. How many people know that? Right? The whole Last Supper. Everything that was going on. Right? And this all comes down to a benefit to where we, as believers in Christ, are dispensers of this same joy to whom? All people. All people. That means it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how far away you are. It doesn't matter what divides us or what religious or personal beliefs or political views or whatever it is. That does not have any role of involvement when it comes to bringing joy into somebody's life. I don't care what your political affiliation is when you're having a rough day and you just need to be cheered up. I don't care what the color of your skin is when you're having a rough day and you just need to be cheered up. Why? Because I, being a person who is filled with joy, have nothing better to do than just dispense that joy. And see, here's where we're now getting into the Christmas spirit, right? And what does it mean? What does it mean to be in this world of Christmas that we're getting into? What it means is, y'all need to cheer up. That's right. Y'all need to cheer up. You need to be filled with joy. Amen? Because what church goes around and bah humbugs Christmas? Like, seriously, would you go to that church, cuz? I wouldn't. Not here. We're happy people. We are happy people. So, let's take a look at some other scripture, right? Because he established this pattern of multiplication of joy, right? Go to Philippians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 4. Go ahead, Ken. Philippians. Oh, I didn't. You're right. I didn't put it up at the top. I'm sorry. Can you find it real quick? Philippians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 4. If you got your Bible, you can turn there. He's going to put it up there. I'm going to read it for you out of the New King James Version, but I actually think I wanted the NIV version. Up there it is. You got it. So if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. This, ladies and gentlemen, is actually what Christmas is all about. For us who are filled with the joy of the Lord, whom is our strength, right? He is our strength. We should have no care about what is going on in our world. We sat here and had a spirit-filled worship service about how his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know why that's so important? Because if we're holding on to our burdens and our struggles, we're not relying on his strength, which is our joy. So we're consumed with us and ourselves. We are not going to be consumed with the interests of others. See, it's actually having a flipped over, turned around change of approach in the way the world thinks. Because the world today thinks about whom? They think about themselves. Okay? If we're going to try to be impactful and be that dispenser of joy, we have to be consumed with them. And what's interesting about that is when somebody's sitting there and they're selfishly looking out for their own needs, and somebody steps up and takes advantage of that open opportunity and says, I can actually do something here. I can help. Here, let me fill that void in your heart that you need right now. Let me help you. Oh, what do you need? Oh, you need a sandwich here. Here's a sandwich. Now what are you consumed with? Well, you're consumed with a sandwich, but that's not necessarily what I meant. But you are now consumed with having that desire that you had fulfilled. Uh-oh. You've been disarmed. Now I can dispense joy. Because you're not focused on yourself. Ha ha! It is sneaky. Jesus was sneaky. You didn't know that. He was the first ninja. He's also the first zombie. Just in case you were wondering. All right. So, if we look at Philippians, right, what do we get out of it? We get the fact that our joy is complete, right? Because it was the first line, right? Joy is complete, right? By the joy that we fulfill in others. So if you're sitting there and you're going, I don't really feel like I'm filled with joy. Well, here's an interesting facet. The way that happens is you have just enough joy in there to go give it to somebody else. How do I say that? Well, what about the widow with two mites? Right? All she had, she gave. Do you think that her joy wasn't magnified and multiplied because she knew in her heart that she had given all that she had to give? It didn't matter how much it was. It mattered that she gave. Because she was a part of something. How often is that? Like, you ever feel like you feel really special and important when you're a part of something that's bigger than you? Isn't that really like a cool, impactful moment in your life? Like, we had people that went to Guatemala, right? Wasn't that an awesome experience to feel like you had an impact? Not just in like a person's life, but you had an impact in a whole village. You had an impact in a whole country. And you were just one person. That has like an impact in your life that you can't take out. It just, that's having your joy complete. Were you rejoicing, Rishima? Yes? All right, what else? How do we do this? We spread joy by serving in the same manner that Christ served, right? He served his disciples. Now, I'm not going around saying wash people's feet, unless the Lord tells you to. But when you serve people, there's joy. I can tell you, me and Miss Irene, we love to serve people. And we just are the happiest people when we're blessing people, right? Amen? We get more joy from that, right? We spread joy by being like-minded, the same love of Christ. All this is in Philippians. When we have people that are in the same mind and the same heart, and we're sharing and breaking bread with those individuals, that joy intensifies or multiplies, right? We have that relationship here at Streams, right? We receive joy by esteeming others rather than ourselves. When you lift somebody up, again, cheering them up, lifting their spirits, your joy is multiplied. And see, in Charlie Brown's Christmas, there's a great message. And that's why I pulled that out, because I wanted to not just go kind of nostalgic and go back to, circa whatever that first televised. I don't think I was born yet, but I loved Charlie Brown when I was a kid. The background before that happened is that Charlie Brown had this struggle throughout the whole special of not understanding what the meaning of Christmas was. And he just felt like everything he touched fell apart. He was just a super curmudgeon-y, just discouraged. I don't know if he's a kid or adult. I still haven't figured that out yet. And he was getting super frustrated because it just felt like everything he was doing was just not working. And the problem was, is that he was trying to find joy in something. Like in the beginning, he's trying to find joy in the Christmas cards that he wasn't getting in the mail. Then he was trying to find joy in the Christmas play, but all the kids were doing their own thing. And he was getting frustrated at not listening, people not listening. And then he did the tree, and he got frustrated because the tree didn't have any sustenance to it. And, you know, all the stuff. He got frustrated with Snoopy's consumerism. You know, which I thought was hysterical because he won first prize and, you know, but he got frustrated with all the tangible things. And Linus comes out and he gives him the Bible and he tells him that that's what Christmas is all about. But Charlie Brown knew, and that's the funny thing, he knew that it wasn't about those things, right? he kept going through it. He's like, you know, he thought it was silly that Snoopy was being materialistic. You know, he thought it was silly that he was looking in the mailbox for a Christmas card. He knew that there was something else, but he couldn't put his finger on it. Right? And what was the end result? The end result was eventually it clicked and it became relevant that all of the people that he had in his life, all the friends, all the connections, all those things, these were the people that he needed to spend time with. This is what it was about. It was about that joy and that breaking bread and that sharing experience of all coming together. And if you watch all those Christmas movies, all of them, and I hate to say that because I don't like some of them, but all those Christmas movies, they always have that element in the Christmas movie. That moment where everybody gets together. The town comes together. The Grinches and all the Who's in Whoville come together. You know, every single one has that element. And the reason is because that's the multiplication of the joy of the Lord being done. That's really what it's about, but they won't say it. They won't give credit where it's due, but I know where that's due. That credit is due to the Lord. Amen. Now, going back to that, all right, in John 15, verses 9 through 11, that one you have, right, Ken? All right. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, all of this comes down to one facet. When we're dealing with this time of the year and what it is about and what the meaning of Christmas is about, it really comes down to this. Others and our obedience to God. It's real simple. There's no additional stuff. There's no other components. There's no Christmas trees and lights and ornaments and decorations. All that stuff is nice. We have it here. It's nice. But this stuff won't bring you joy. It looks pretty. I will give you that. It looks very nice. But it really won't give you tangible joy. It'll give you momentary joy. But it won't be complete. Right? Because here we have it. Our relationship with Christ and his love for us is part one. And the second part is that our obedience to his commandments. What do we get in exchange? These things that he's told us is so that his joy, not your joy, his joy, okay? This is where it's important, is in us and it is complete. That means what? That means that, first of all, you personally aren't held responsible for the joy. That's important. In my book, that's extremely important because there are those days that we all will have where we don't want to be very joyful and happy. Are you entitled to that day? Sure you are. But don't be surprised if some weird, shocking occurrence, like a phone call or a person you haven't seen in 20 years or whom knows whatever happens, comes across you and goes, hey, what's going on? You seem a little down. You're not your normal self. You're usually happier. And then all of a sudden, that joy starts reigniting, relighting, and all of a sudden, that joy becomes complete. The reason is because we can't exist in any other realm. We actually are incapable of existing in this realm. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Think about it. Whom dwells in each and every one of you? Jesus dwells within you, right? Okay. He dwells within me. I have a eternal relationship with the Father through the Son and through His Spirit. Amen? Right? That keeps me in common union or communion with Him at all times. Does this relationship require me to do anything, or is it done because of what He has done? Who's responsible for keeping the relationship? Jesus, right? He's responsible. Our obedience is all that's required, which is being outlined right here, right? How many people are obedient to the Lord? Are you obedient to the Lord? Okay then. So if you believe in Jesus, he's in you, you're obedient to the Lord, okay, then you have no other choice. Because this is not something that is optional. It is something that comes along with the package. You just didn't know it came with the package. So here's the call out to every single one of you sitting in this church today. Be happy. Be happy. I understand circumstances happen. Guess what? Be jolly. Be happy. Why? Because who wants to get to know grumpy Jesus? Who wants to get to know commiserating Jesus? Who wants to get to know complaining Jesus? Could you imagine Jesus on the cross? You guys aren't doing anything right. Yeah, come on. Seriously, who wants to deal with that in their life? No. People in the world are absent of the joy of the Lord. They don't understand that that is strength. They see it as what?
Y'all people are just happy people all the time. Curmudgeon, curmudgeon, curmudgeon.
You need more Jesus. They don't know. Now, see, I can't say that. No, you can't. Okay, oh, you need Jesus. No, no, no. I won't say that. But I will come and try to dispense some joy in your life. Because here's the catch. This is the big picture, right? If we understand this whole ideology, what we'll understand is that the people that come to the Lord are going to come to the Lord not because you keep witnessing, not because you keep telling them how they need Jesus, not because you laid hands on them and they received a miracle. No. They're going to come because of the joy. They're going to come because they want that in their life. They're going to come because they want to partake in something that actually fulfills them. And the only thing that is complete is joy. People don't feel complete. That's a fact. People feel like there's something missing in their life. And the one thing that completes them is joy. His joy. Not their joy, not my joy, not anybody else's joy, but his joy. And so as a dispenser of his joy, right, that if it's infinite, that means I give it to Dan. I go, Dan, here's like 20,000 kilos of joy that you needed right now. Am I empty? No. I got another 20,000 kilos from my cousin. I'm using metric system. Get used to it. Right? We have the gift. See, Jesus is the eternal gift, but he's been given to each and every one of us to distribute. Right? He's the gift that keeps on giving. That is the real joy and meaning of Christmas. But we as dispensers of said gift, of joy, right, have a responsibility to do. Which is what? Put a smile on your face and be happy. Be happy to meet people. Be happy to see needs met. Be happy to serve. Be happy to be a blessing to somebody. Be happy to ask someone for prayer. Be happy to do whatever the Lord's telling you to do. But be happy about it. Be joyous. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen? When we understand and we abide in the love of Christ, which is what this is talking about, you have that indispensable amount of joy. And as we love one another, right, as the body of Christ, as we continue to expand and grow and love one another and share in that, what happens is that it's multiplicative. The joy increases. The joy overflows out of us. It exudes from us. We can almost not contain it anymore. So my challenge to you guys today is take a moment and see where your joy is coming from. Are you looking forward to something happening? Are you waiting for something to come? Are you waiting for a bonus? Are you waiting for, you know, Christmas present of some sort? You know, what is that thing or something that you're waiting for to fulfill that joy? And I'm telling you that even today, when the Lord was moving in our service and through our worship experience, that there were so many people that were still sitting back there that God was saying, what do you want? What is it that you want? What is it you really want? And ask the Lord for whatever it is that you want. Because guess what? He wants to give all of those great and wonderful things to you. Because whatever it has to be to fulfill your joy, to be complete, He wants you to be complete. That's what He's all about. Because guess what? He knows every single detail of your life. He knows the deep-seated heart issues. He knows the struggles. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the things that you want to be set free from or released from or do whatever. He knows. Don't over-spiritualize it. Please don't. Be real. Ask the Lord for what it is you really want. Because I'm telling you, He actually wants to give it to you because He wants His joy made complete in you. Because once His joy is made complete in you, guess what happens? You won't stop telling everybody how overjoyed and rejoiced you are and what the Lord has done for you. Because that's what He's about. That's what this truly is all about. That's what Lioness was talking to Charlie Brown about. That's what it meant. That's what that whole passage in Luke really, really means. He is great joy. It's almost like His name. Emmanuel, God with us. He is all that we need. And if we know that and we carry that with us every single day we wake up and take breath in our lungs, how much better off would we be? I'll tell you, I got convicted. When I put this message together, I was a very happy camper. But guess who was a happy camper today? Okay? I am. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I know now what I probably had forgotten since I was like 17. Okay? Which was, there's so much more to this season and what it's really about. And yeah, there's nice times and there's family and there's festivities and all these great wonderful things. But think about it. When you leave here today, let this sit in your heart. Is your joy complete? Is your joy truly complete? Is it complete enough to go and just endlessly dispense it out to whomever you come in contact with? If not, I'm going to let you know, don't leave here today without having your joy complete. Amen? Do not leave here today without having your joy complete, because it's going to be necessary in the upcoming days, because you're going to have a whole bunch of family coming together, people that probably don't know the Lord, people that, you know, you haven't seen in 15 years, and they remember you when you were a wee lad or whatever, and they're going to talk up all these stories and bring back memories that you tried to forget and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, it happens. It's family. It's okay. We love them. But how about you come bringing some great joy for them this year? Amen? Amen? So, Lord, we thank You, God. We thank You for Your word today. We thank You for its provision in our lives, God. We thank You that You are great joy, that You have made this joy dwell within us through You, God, and that You make it complete in You, Father. And we thank You for everything that Your Son accomplished on the cross, that there is a true reality of You dwelling within our hearts and in our lives and manifesting to all the world to see, God, through joy. So we rejoice today, God. We rejoice in thanksgiving and gratefulness for everything that You've set up and accomplished, God. The things that You call out of our hearts, God, those deep desires, those issues and the deep things of our heart, God, that You've called us out in song, God, to cast our cares upon You, God, for Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light, God. That, Lord, You are so consumed with us being completely set free in You, God, to be true dispensers of Your great joy, God, that You will stop at nothing to have Your way with us, God. So, Lord, we release Your spirit upon each and every one today, God. continue to pour out, continue to dispense great joy into each and every one of our lives, God, and show us where those areas are, God, that we're holding back, God, and we're not surrendering, Lord, and let us freely give those things off to you, God, so that you can become more manifest in our lives, God, so that this joy may multiply and spread through all people, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.